You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 227 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, February 11th of the year 2020, and here in Kansas City, I am your host, J.R. Cook, and I am joined by the one and only Mr. Danny Ray, coming all the way from... You guys got some elections going on tonight, all the way from New Hampshire, right?
We do, but I haven't really been paying too much attention to that. We'll see. I'll get the headline tomorrow morning.
I know Ray went and voted. He posted about it on Twitter.
Did he? How good for him.
Yeah. And speaking of Ray, He was voted off the island.
Yeah, I say that because tomorrow is the premiere of the new season of Survivor. I'm a big Survivor fan, and this is like the biggest season of all time, the all-winter season. So I'm getting excited, JR.
Survivor's still on?
I know. That's all. I would say maybe about a quarter of the people I tell that I'm a big Survivor fan say the exact same response, exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
It's going strong.
I have never watched a single episode of it.
It's fair. I like the strategy component to it because Survivor's transformed over the years. It's no longer just survive on an island. It's the strategy, the backstabbing, the alliances, the all of that stuff. I find that very interesting. It's the only reality TV show that I'll watch.
See, I have a hard time getting into reality TV shows. The only ones that I really enjoy is anything to do with Gordon Ramsay, just because I find that guy hilarious. That's about it.
More or less the clips for me, though. I like watching the little clips here and there. I can't stand watching cooking shows. They just, it's because at one point it's like, okay, the food either looks disgusting or it looks really good and I want to eat it. So it's like, I don't know. I can't handle the food on the cooking shows. And then it's like, I'll take the little soundbite moments, which are really cool, when he goes off on people or someone's about like cowering in fear and he tells them good job. But...
Oh, man. Yeah, like, we've been watching the 24 Hours to Hell and Back, or whatever it's called, and where he goes to those restaurants that are going under, and usually one of the reasons why they are is because they have disgusting kitchens and disgusting food, oh, God, it's so gross.
It's so brutal. Bad.
Like, it makes me rethink, like, ever going to a restaurant again after watching one of those.
I have firsthand experience. I went in college, I lived in a fraternity house and we had a kitchen in there. It was one of the most disgusting rooms in the house. Like, we had to clean it like every single day and stuff. But when the people slacked on that, it was just gross.
Yeah. Did you live in the same fraternity house I did? Because that was basically the same experience I had in college.
Everyone. So. I think anyone who lived in a fraternity had that experience.
Yeah. No, it was nasty. Everything in that house was nasty. So I cringe every time I think about living there.
In the moments when you were there, you don't remember it. I mean, there are certain times when it was really bad, but looking back on it, I'm like, man, my standards have gone up just leaving college.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's so past that at this point.
Yeah. So, but speaking of the past anymore, which for you is probably like 2 years ago. For me, it was like 20 years ago.
I'm not that young.
Well, let's talk about the present a little bit, sort of the past, the more recent past. What have you been up to in the last week?
Man, I've been playing a good amount of Hearthstone, getting back into the swing of things after the Runeterra buzz hit. I didn't play any Runeterra this week, but I played a lot of Hearthstone to get caught up, and I have everything. I haven't been able to play today. Today is when the final wing unlocked, but I played everything, and I beat everything on Heroic. So, I actually experimented a lot with some decks in Wild and had a lot of fun. Some interesting deck archetypes popped up, and I think we'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Runeterra conversation is interesting because I've had basically the exact same experience where I was like, all right, Runeterra, yeah, this game's really cool. A week later, okay, cool, I am back in Hearthstone now, and I haven't touched Runeterra since.
Yep, I mean, I logged in last night to get my vault, which was 3 bronze chests. Yeah. And then, because every Tuesday is a new vault, and mine would be overridden if I didn't do that. So I still want to try to maintain rewards, because at some point they're going to go through and have a tournament or two. We'll see how the scene develops, and then I will adjust accordingly. But at this point, I think I feel fairly confident watching streams with it and everything. But I'm at a good point, and really, I just want to play to have fun at this point. And I find that playing with the, at least for the solo adventures, giving that a shot, it was very interesting, because last week's wings were definitely, I would say, different. The constructed decks felt very similar to that of prior expansions. Like the, I'm not sure if you played the solo adventure, but the ship battle is very similar to that chess, the chess game where you would go through and everyone auto attacked.
Yeah. I have not played week 3 or week 4 yet. I have not jumped on and played the solo adventures. Whenever I did have a little bit of time to play, I just hopped on Battlegrounds. I was hoping, if we didn't do a show tonight, I was hoping to play both of them tonight. So at this point, it's probably going to be a Wednesday night thing where I hop on and play through those.
I definitely recommend playing week 3. Week 3 has been the strongest of the solo content so far. It's the ship battle is very fun because it seems very reminiscent of like the chess battle that you had, where you would go through and then you'd play a pawn and the pawn would attack, and then like the bishops would go and they'd heal, and like the rooks would attack. Like that's pretty much what's happening, but they're like cannons. It's very neat. It's very cool.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll have some time after the show even to play through those. I just it's been a week. Let's put it that way. It's been a week.
Yeah, I feel you.
But no, I played a little bit of Battlegrounds. I for some reason I got back into Battlegrounds again. And so when I sit down, it's like, well, I have, you know, a half an hour to play something. I could play solo adventure, but I don't feel like really thinking that hard right now. And not that you have to think hard, you know, terribly hard through that, but I'm just like, Battlegrounds. Let's do that. Yeah,
Battlegrounds is a very good way to relax. I think that's,
yeah.
I mean, the format of an auto, yeah, the auto battler makes it so that you're able to go and then you just have a consistent thing going on. You're consistently thinking turn after turn,
right,
and things are very dynamic. And that's one thing that I definitely like about any auto battler, because you make so many decisions. Whereas in any card game that you're playing through, it's like, I know what my like after the first 2 or 3 turns, you know what your next 5 turns are pretty much, you know. Like once you get to a specific level, it's like, okay, if my opponent plays this, I play that. Okay. Nothing really to think about that.
Yeah. And it's also one of those things where I didn't mention it last week and you gave me crap for it, but then, you know, with the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl and all that, I feel like in the last week, I've still been in a hangover over that. So yep,
and that's well-deserved.
Yeah. So, you know, that's another reason that and work ramping up and everything, but hopefully tonight or tomorrow night is all going to be Hearthstone, and it's going to be good. With that said, I think we have some news to talk about, so let's hop over to that.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So, it's been a short news week. There's only a handful of things, to be honest. You know, the biggest thing is the new cards. We're going to talk about those in a minute. But before we even get into that, you know, I've been talking about Battlegrounds and things like that. Blizzard did announce that there is a Battlegrounds nerf coming. And basically, they're going to do something to nerf demons. Demons is clearly right now like the big winner in Battlegrounds. And they're going to do something about it. They haven't gone into details on what. They haven't gone into details on when. But I have a feeling that we'll have an announcement sometime this week.
That's really cool, though. Like, Battlegrounds has been the format in the game that has gotten the most updates and the quickest, too. They're very responsive. They're good at adding things in. It's been around, what, a month and a half or so we've had this, like, game format? How long? Or it's been longer than that at this point. When did it come out?
It came out
at BlizzCon, right?
Yeah, it came out shortly after BlizzCon, so it's been out since
November. Been a couple months.
Since November, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like if you were to put the number of updates that have been in that and you compare it to something like 2017 and the number of updates that Hearthstone as a whole got, I would say it's probably on par within the first 3-4 months that it's been out with the number of updates it's gotten.
And I think they're gonna continue adding to it as well. This isn't just gonna be like nerf changes or things like that. Like we said a while back, we're like they've gotta bring dragons to it or something like that. Like new tribes, and dragon seems like the most obvious one to potentially bring just because there's cards that already deal with dragons. And also we saw that Descent of Dragons card that was like, I think both me and you agreed. But, like, if there was ever a Battlegrounds card, this one is it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I have a feeling that we'll be seeing that sometime in the near future. Maybe whenever they announce the new year of. So
it's kind of crazy because normally the set drops like the first week of like April, which means like as soon as March hits the corner, we're gonna know what the year of stuff is coming up. And right now we're about to go and review cards, JR. We are a month away from getting new cards and we're reviewing cards.
It's crazy, and these are the last cards that we're going to be reviewing too until then. Because week 4, the final week, the final chapter dropped earlier today. Before we jump into the cards, though, like you said, you've played week 4 adventure already.
I have not played week 4. I've been at work all day, and I plan on playing probably not tonight, but I'll probably play it tomorrow. But they set week 3 up in a interesting state. We're at a standoff between the heroes and the villains, and we will now be heading in towards the final chapter. And I don't know, based on the cards that we have here, it should be a very interesting chapter. But the lore has a very good wrinkle to it where they hinted at one of the things. One of the guys, I don't remember which hero it was, but one of the heroes on the villain said, "Your partner Reno, he's not what he appears."
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they announced that he's a dragon at some point. That'd be cool.
Yeah. That would be something rather interesting. I'll have to play it. Like I'm getting excited to play it now. I'm wondering if they'll make any hints on what the next expansion will be as well. That would be.
Well, first we have to see how it resolves, right?
Yeah.
I would assume that Hearthstone is in the good nature. So if I had to bet right now, I'd bet the heroes would win. I bet the heroes win. And I wonder how they transition this, right? Because this has been a year-long story arc. It's been from the beginning when the League of Evil was formed, the heroes come along, and then there's the battle.
That's right.
Do we continue on in this arc? Do we go on to a new year-long arc? Do we go on and then, like, because this is something that I've seen in Magic, right, where people from the past will occasionally come back and then they'll have a whole set, like, circled around them. Yeah. Or, like, things will go in, like, do all of a sudden, is this going to be, like, the Sir Finley Murtleton year, where it's all Murlocs, like, he's the rise of the Murloc or something, and then, like, all the tribes of Murlocs have turned and done something crazy. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they take someone who's in the current lexicon and then they spin it into their next theme. It would be very good storytelling if they did that.
Yeah. Like, it just occurred to me that we're at the end of this. Like, it does not feel like that long ago where we started this whole storyline and where, you know, a year later looking at it ending. For some reason, that does not feel like a year ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't know if they're going to wrap it up with a bow and then say, all right, we've tried this. I mean, they could replicate it, right? And they could bring in, like, introduce, like, villain team 2 and then villain, and then the hero team 2 comes out. They could repeat it, which I highly advocate they don't do.
No.
But it'd be interesting to see how if they continue with the year-long story approach.
Yeah, and it would be interesting to see, like, if when they do this, if there's something at the end that causes some kind of speculation on what this might continue on as. even though it might be something completely different, it would be nice to have that little segue, right? Into going into the next year.
And this is the perfect time to do it too, because this is kind of like wrapping up the last year, but we're right about to head into the next year. So segueing into the next portion would be very cool, at least.
Speaking of segues, let's talk about some cards. That was a terrible segue, but anyway, we'll work with what we have. So we have 8 new cards. We've got 4 from the evil side, 4 from the good side. And some of these we've talked about. I don't mind going through and talking about some of them again. In fact, I think most of these we've actually talked about. It seems like to me that this set is probably the best suited for some big cards that will be really changing some things up.
And compared to
other sets, right? And I think that's on purpose.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that this week is probably the strongest out of all of the weeks that have come out. I think they definitely saved the best for last.
Yeah. So the first card is the Frenzied Fellwing, which is a 4 mana, 3 attack, 3 health demon, and it costs 1 less for each damage dealt to your opponent this turn. So if you do, you know, if you do 4 damage to them, this thing's free.
Yeah. So I have a running joke going on with some guys in Wild how eventually I'm going to be playing a free 3-3 deck where every single card in my deck is free and it's a 3-3 because it seems like this is a very solid formula. They give a mana, they give a card a 3-3 body, and then somehow you can make it free, whether you discard it with Silverware Golem, with the Happy Ghoul, you heal your hero, or this one where you deal damage. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see more along this line. All those cards have been solid cards in Zoo decks. I think that free 3-3s are solid in Zoo decks, so this is no exception. This is fitting into that category straight away.
Yeah, because you can absolutely play this, you know, you can play something for 4 mana, you can easily do 4 points of damage and also play this card. Like, you can play 2 cards on turn 4, or even turn 3, or maybe turn 2, you know.
You can also turn 1 Soulfire your opponent in the face and then play this.
Yeah, as long as you don't discard it.
You'd wish it was Silverware Golem at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh man, that would be a crazy turn. Like Soulfire,
that would be great.
Silverware Golem, play Frenzied Fellwing, turn
coin
1,
out,
go.
Coin out a whatchamacallit, the Voodoo Doctor, and then play your Happy Ghoul. That would be. I'm getting that on Trollden. That is a Trollden moment,
right? And it's like, have no more cards in your hand, but you're a warlock. Why do you care?
Yeah,
you'll just draw more. It's like Doritos. You can just get more. Just get more. I think this is going to be a card that we see for quite some time. As you said, Zoo deck. As long as Zoo is a thing, this fits in. Even if Zoo's not a thing, like, this fits in some kind of tempo aggro deck.
Yeah, this is probably, I mean, I don't know if it's good enough to make the rogue list, because rogue seems to be the main aggro hotness right now in standard. And like, this is something that if you're playing a very aggressive version of the deck, this is something you're going to want to slot in. It's a good tech card in that situation.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting as a combo card too, right? Because playing cards for free is a combo activator. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah. Yep. I'm sitting here talking about like it's a warlock card, forgetting that it's a neutral. Just because this fits in warlock. So.
Yeah, we'll do the same thing about another card later on. So
yeah. It's kind of like the old World of Warcraft adage, like every weapon's a hunter weapon, and it's like this card is a warlock card. All right. But moving on here, we've got Boom Squad, not Bomb Squad, which is a 1 mana warrior spell. Discover a lackey, mech, or dragon.
And so this is interesting. There's a warlock equivalent of this card, which is 1 mana, discover a lackey. So having the ability to... So do you discover the lackey, dragon, or mech? I don't know how this actually works. So if you... I don't know if you're offered 1 of each, or if you discover the lackey, mech, or dragon option, you discover the 3 of those.
I
don't really know how that works.
I am not 100% certain myself.
Yeah. But so the interesting thing is that I had initially said the warlock card, 1 mana, discover a lackey, was garbage. but it's actually seeing play right now in Wild in a tier one deck in Darkest Hour Warlock. Because it's just a cheap spell that you can play for as a small drop.
Right.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with Darkest Hour Warlock, but that's the new rage in Wild for Warlock, where you go through Blood Bloom, play a bunch of imps, and then you Blood Bloom Darkest Hour, and then you have a bunch of ridiculously large minions on board really early. So yeah, it's kind of like Big Priest, but in Warlock. So I feel that if Warrior has an equivalent at some point, with because Recruit is always going to be one of the stronger keywords if you can cheat your Recruit cards out. If there's ever a point where they need early game and just in spell form, this is a good card for that context. I think that's the frame that I would want to put this card in. I don't think it really sees play in any tempo decks or anything because you're just losing value on it. You could be playing a good one drop rather than just discover something later, right? Right. So I do think that if you're able to play cheap minions, you never want to be able to play this. But if for whatever reason your deck restriction holds you from that, I think that this is an interesting card.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else to add to that. The next one is an actual Warlock card. And we've talked in depth about this one on the show in the past. But we'll go over it again real quick. It's a 3-mana, 4-attack, 3-health demon called Chaos Gazer. It's got the battle cry, corrupt a playable card in your opponent's hand, and they have one turn to play it. So this is one of those cards that you can hold on later and hope that you hit their combo piece before they wanna play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's also good in control decks because a lot of times you're trying to hold like a value card until like the optimal moment. Mm-hmm. And I find that a lot of times in mirror matches or very controlling matches, like in Wild, for example, N'Zoth is a card that's probably going to be played around turn 20 or 25 after everything's died, or like something like a Shudderwalk, for example. It's probably a better example for Standard, where you want to play all your good battle cries and then play Shudderwalk. Right. So Chaos Gazer can really go through in those matchups, and if your opponent's been sitting on a card for a really long time, they're waiting to play it to be like their comeback card if you ever get ahead on board, and forcing them to play it early is definitely a benefit. So
yeah,
I think it's really geared towards those combo control decks, and it really, I think, I like situational tech cards much better than tech cards that will just naturally fit into your deck like Galaka Crawler used to. Mm-hmm. I think Chaos Gazer is one of those examples where if you understand how the meta is performing, this is something that you definitely want to be looking at.
Yeah, and it's I'm just a big fan of how this card works. That's not to say like I expect to see this card get much play. But I like that we have it. I hope that it does get to see some play. And that there's a reason why people would play. I still really think it's like a great way to potentially hit Zephyrs.
Yeah, that's a very good one too, especially in Reno decks. Like one of the things you find in that I've seen so far is that Zephyrs and Reno are now being played in duplicate decks because you're just playing a control deck and you have the option to put Zephyrs in as a combo, as like a end game type card.
Yeah.
Or Alexstrasza, Dragon Queen Alexstrasza is a big one as well.
Yeah.
Because it might forcing them to be played without their battle cry going off is huge.
Because it might be one of those things where you end up playing it early and you can potentially hit Zephyrs with it, and you have a 3-mana 4/3 in play, which isn't a terrible stat line either, right?
Yeah, they're aggressively statted, so that's very solid as well.
So I don't know. Like Maybe this can go in a zoo deck.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So I don't know. I dig the card. I hope I hope to see it. Ray thinks it's trash and it'll never see play. And
what was the last card he said that about?
Yeah, he said that about Wingardium. So we'll see.
Yeah, he said
happens.
That on Wingardium. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. The next card is neutral legendary that we're getting this set. Grand Lackey Irk. I don't know how to pronounce that, to be honest. It's a 2-attack, 3 health. After you play a lackey, add a lackey to your hand. This card is kind of crazy.
Yeah, the name itself makes me sound like someone's trying to huck up a loop. Or very Scottish. How about that? That's probably better. The loogie's not the most the best example.
Yeah, just lackey.
Yeah.
Dang but, lackeys.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is a crazy card. Like this is definitely a very value oriented card. You're able to play this late game. I don't think you have ever played this for tempo unless you do something like you shadow step it for a later turn.
Yeah.
Or you could do something like that in Rogue. But I mean, while this seems more or less to me like a Rogue card, but I could see Shaman playing this. Shaman's very good lackey class.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in Zoo, I don't really know how your decks are built nowadays in Standard, but if you play lackeys in Zoo, maybe this is a thing.
Yeah, maybe. I think this card will see play and will see a good amount of play. I could be wrong about that, but anything with lackeys just tends to be pretty darn good. So the next one is the Paladin. We've talked about this on the show before as well. Shotbot, which is a 2-mana 2/2 mech with Reborn. I'm just like, this is just a great 2-drop. It reminds me of Shield and Minibot.
Yep.
It's just a solid 2-drop. I don't know why you would not want this, and you know, depending on the type of deck you're playing, I don't know why you would not want to play this.
It's exactly what it is. It's not a super exciting card, but it's a card it's almost exactly like Shield and Minibot in the sense where Shield and Minibot was not an exciting card. It's like, oh, this minion has Divine Shield. That's not super exciting, but ultimately it was the powerhouse behind the core that Paladin had at the time, along with Muster for Battle. And right. I feel that Shotbot provides a lot to Paladin and allows you to go into more of an aggressive direction because Mech Paladin exists in Standard. And in Wild, like that's the premier like aggro Paladin deck, Mech Paladin. So, on the surface, it's technically a little bit worse than Shielded Minibot. But in my opinion, if I could run 4 versions of Shielded Minibot, even if the two of them are less powerful, I most certainly am going to be running 4 copies of it. Yeah. So it adds that consistency, and it just adds to consistency is always strong because eventually you hit a critical mass of a specific amount of cards. So it also helps promote Reno decks where you're going through and it's like, oh, well, I can only play Shielded Minibot. 1 copy of it. And it's like, well, this is actually a 2nd copy of Shielded Minibot, just reprinted in a slightly different way.
Yep. The next card is our neutral beast. Escaped.
Not a druid.
Not a druid. Escaped Mana Saber, not to be mistaken with Escaped Man Saber, which is what I think you and Ray thought it was.
No, it's Man Saber. I refuse to pronounce the 2nd A in that word.
Is the 4-mana, 3 attack, 5 health that has stealth. Whenever this attacks, gain 1 mana crystal this turn only. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember what we said about it other than
it's a good mid-range. It allows for, so this is one of the things where because of class identity, right? Druid has been the only class that's allowed you to ramp up,
right?
Which really has made Druid one of the only classes that can play mid-range for a long time.
Yeah.
And I just think that this is a solid mid-range tool. Maybe it's a control tool at a specific point too, because ramp helps out with that. But I find that the tempo that you get from this, right, you're able to get it back. A 4-mana 3/5 is almost optimal stats. The best stat line for 4 mana is typically 4-mana 3/6. But you play this on board, and then all of a sudden you're able to trade into some other things. You might even be able to get 2 off of it, but you get an extra mana crystal on the turn you decide to use it. So you can wait for it, and I mean, even in the worst case scenario, right, you could play the 5 health stat line is huge against mage board clears. So Flame Strike's not going to be able to kill this one off. So a lot of times, let's say I have a turn I want to play 11 mana worth of stuff on it, I can play the Man Saber down the turn before, and then all of a sudden I can make a ridiculous combo that costs 11.
Right, or 12 if you have two.
Or 12, yeah, if you have 2 of them on board.
Yeah, so that's a thing that you can definitely do. I just don't see a lot of turns where you play this on curve and you're like, man,
going from 4 to 6 is big.
Yeah. Well, you're not going from four. You're not going from 4 to 6. You're going from five to six.
No, you're not. You're playing this on turn 4. It's stealth. Next turn, you have 5 mana. You attack with it. You have 6 mana that turn.
Right. But you had 5 mana. 4 to 6. You have 5 mana. You attack with it. Now you have 6 mana. So you're going from. I see what you're saying.
You're going from turn 4 right. to turn 6, essentially.
Yes,
but yeah,
I see what you're saying. Yes. Yeah. You are correct.
It wasn't clear.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going from turn 4 to basically turn 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
strong cards are on 6 as well, but I am interested in seeing how people build decks with this, because like we said before, Mana Ramp has not existed in any other class besides Druid for the longest time, and this, I mean, it's just a solid card. I wouldn't, in any mid-range deck, I'd probably want to play this.
Yeah.
Just because all of a sudden I can cheat something out, I can go through. Having more mana is mana cheating is probably the strongest thing in Hearthstone.
Yep. The next card is the Druid card, which is also a beast. 2 mana for a 2-attack, 3 health. Steel Beetle is its name. It's got a battle cry. If you're holding a spell that costs 5 or more. You gain 5 armor. And the thing that like yells this out to me is if there is a control or combo druid, they probably would like to play this card just for the fact that 2 mana, 2-3 is a decent stat line to begin with. The fact that you can gain 5 armor if you're playing control or combo is actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
It gives you a little more survivability. Not only do you have survivability, you put down this 2 mana, 2-3. You gain 5 extra armor, gives you a little bit more time to do your thing later on.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think about, right now you have to think about what spells are 5 mana or more. And that's, I mean, it's a little bit tough to see in Druid and Standard right now, because what spells are 5 or more? You have Overflow.
Yeah.
You have the Tree Dude that's 6 mana. Right. That,
There's not that many
in Standard. So, but I mean, in Wild, there's a lot more. UI is fantastic. You have Spreading Plague. You have a lot of cards that are very strong that this synergizes with. Unfortunately, in Wild, the Oaken Summons package really hurts this, because it's really funny. You're going to get a kick out of it. What was the last minion that you remember being pulled off of Oaken Summons when you played that?
I can't even remember at this point. I never really played that deck much, and I never really faced it much.
Sure. So I can give you the progression of how the 4-drop slot has changed for that. It used to be Ironwood Golem as the original spot for Oaken Summons. Mm-hmm. But as time went along, when Vargoth came out, all of a sudden you want to be pulling Vargoth from it, and that immediately gets put in every Druid deck. But with this expansion, I think it's called Zoldrak Ritualist. It's the 4-mana, 3-9 that summons 3 1-drops for your opponent. That's what you're currently pulling off of Oaken Summons. So you're playing a 4-mana card, you're hitting your Vargoth, and then your Vargoth is pulling out a 3-9. So it's fun to see how Wild slowly degenerates over time. I do enjoy seeing that, and knowing the progression of it is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
But as long as that is a thing, I don't think Steel Beetle becomes an option in Wild, just because of how strong some of these other options are. But it's definitely something that you want to keep in mind in Standard. If you're getting, like, whenever we evaluate new spells coming up in these next couple expansions, I think that you want to look back at this and say, okay, well, I have at least a core that I can start building around.
Yeah. Yep. Last but not least is probably my favorite card of this entire set, and that is the Amazing Reno, which is the hero card for this set, mage hero card, 10 mana. Gain 5 health. Battle cry, make all minions disappear. Poof. So what this means is if they have Reborn, they're not coming back. If they have Death Rattle, it's not triggering.
Yeah. If they have Battle Cry, they're not getting pulled off of Shutterwalk. That I find interesting, yeah. And that's probably the most practical application standard.
Yeah. Well, or...
Forge the board clear, right?
Or, like that, you know,
in and of itself.
If they disappear, like, you're not resurrecting them either as a priest, because they didn't die.
That's true. They didn't die.
There's just... I love this concept of just the cards are just gone. That's it.
Yeah.
The cards are just gone.
You know what I'm excited for with this card? I'm excited to go on Reddit tomorrow morning and sort by new and see all the people complaining saying, oh my God, someone played Reno. I played my Shutterwalk and my Battle Cries didn't work, because that is completely not apparent, right? Like, that is something that, like, it was like a developer said it on Twitter, but just what in the word poof says that the Battle Cry minions that get taken away will act as if their Battle Cries never happened?
Right.
I love that. I love the little text that you need to know that once you've seen it in a game, that's like, oh, okay, that's how it works. But there will be a bunch of people who run into this and they will think their game is bugged.
Right. And this doesn't even, like, we haven't even talked about his hero power yet either that you get.
Yeah, that's true.
His hero power is like a passive hero power. And I love the wording around it. What does this do? And at the start of your turn, you cast a random spell. Just not only do you get to make all the minions poof, but then you're basically Yogg the rest of the game. And that's just, I just love it.
Yeah, it's a super cool thing. And I mean, the card as itself as a board clear is very nice. But then random spells are definitely a factor that this is the type of card that if it is a good card, a 10 mana clear everything, no matter what emergency button, it seems almost like Yogg, right? Yeah. Back in the old day when you were druid, you had Yogg as the emergency switch. I'm dead unless I fix things. Like, that's kind of what this is.
Yeah. It's a board wipe with a built-in Yogg afterwards, where you're just doing random stuff every turn.
It'll make some very fun games for sure.
And the spells are not mage only.
Oh, really? It's from the whole pool. It's kind of exactly like a Yogg.
Yeah. The spells that is played are not mage only. So you can get a Twisty Nether. You can,
pyroblast your opponent in the face.
Right. There's just a lot of stuff that could happen. I just see so many people that will be complaining about this card just being annoying more than anything.
You revel in the fact.
Yes. So I don't know. I need to go play and get this card and just start playing some games with it now.
For sure.
Podcast is over. I'm gonna go do that.
All right.
All right, podcast isn't over. But those are all the cards for this week. Overall, though, I want to ask this question next week. I'm going to save this question for next week. Preemptively, I guess I'll ask it. But overall, like, what do you think of the adventure mode in the cards that came out with it? I'll ask this again next week, but just preemptively.
Yeah, sure, when we have Ray as well. Yeah. I think that, to be perfectly honest, this was... very surprising. I'm surprised they did this, but I think it is a giant plus for Hearthstone. Like, this almost seemed like the old school adventure. It was pretty much an old school adventure that came out halfway through an expansion, and this has kept me engaged where I would normally be. Like, I would be playing Runeterra right now if this had not come out. This would be, like, this is saving, I don't want to say saving Hearthstone, but it's getting to the point where they desperately needed something like this, and they timed it very well.
Do you think they would have to do this every expansion now, or do you think this is a once-a-year thing?
I would say once a year they can probably, if they did it once a year, as long as they did something similar, or it doesn't even need to be identical to what they did for the past two times, but something along the lines of nerfing cards or buffing cards or bringing back wild cards or doing something that, like, invigorates the game for that period at once the hype of the initial expansion has died down.
Yeah.
keeping people interested in the game. And then when the people died, like it gets a second peak in attention on Hearthstone. And then naturally as expansions go through their period, attention in the game does trickle down after the initial expansion. And then it comes back up with this. Having the second boost coming through is very strong. I think that it definitely helps with retention on the game, which is something that they're definitely looking to have.
Yeah. I will be curious to see. I will also be curious to see like how this entire set plus this like built-in adventure mode will play out after the year of begins and all of the previous year rotates out. Because this expansion is the biggest one, but now it's going to be the biggest one in terms of cards with the least amount of other cards available.
And that's true.
And I think that's interesting. I think that will be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think it's the most card. No, it's not. It's not the most card. It's the most time since Standard started. It's the most cards we've had in Standard with this edition.
Yeah.
Because there was a period when we had all the cards just in the game at all times. And but besides that moment, I think this is the time we had the most cards in Standard. And yes, it'll only be upped if they do it again next year.
Right. Yep. So I think that's rather interesting. We'll talk about it a little bit more next week after we've had a week to let things
soak. Yeah, let it soak in. Especially with these cards being so strong, they're gonna have a big impact on them.
Yeah. You had one more thing you wanted to talk about this week. You brought it up in our Discord channel. And for those that haven't joined our Discord channel, I think you just go to discord.me/walnutpodcast.
I believe that is it.
Yeah,
it might be GG. Are we the GG?
Discord.gg. Yeah, it's either discord.me or discord.gg/walnutpodcast. I can never remember which one it is. It's been a long time since I've been there. But definitely come... join us over there on that Discord. We have some discussions here and there. The community is pretty cool. But you talked about this in one of the deck discussions that we had over on that Discord channel, where there's a deck that it is kind of surprising in the fact that it plays quests, but you never intend to complete that quest ever.
Not only do you never intend to complete the quest, you physically don't have the cards in your deck to complete the quest.
Right.
I find this hilarious, and it's very interesting, and I don't know the full the timeline of this, but it's interesting to see that I think this was discovered in Wild because of one deck that we have that is just, it's a fairly strong Paladin combo deck, but this package itself has transferred itself over to Standard, and it's actually seeing play. Who brought it to a tournament? I want to double check that. I believe that Faeli brought it to an open cup in Rogue. So just a little bit more so I don't jump around it anymore. This is what everyone has dubbed it as. The name that has stuck is the questionable package. Mm-hmm. So it is running a quest in your class that you cannot complete. You physically can't complete it. You're running two copies of Questing Explorer. You're running the two copies of Licensed Adventurer, and you're running the Sky General Crag. So those six cards. And essentially the concept of this is because your quest has been played, you are able to activate Sky General Crag, which is just a good card in any quest deck that you have. It just allows for that. But having the Questing Explorer and the Licensed Adventurer in your deck means that you are guaranteed to hit that anytime that you play those cards, no matter what, which is one of the issues with those cards when you're playing a quest deck, because most of the time you're playing around the quest because your quest is your reward. You're going to play to the quest to complete it, because if you draw those cards later and you haven't, your quest is already done. Well, your quest is already done. You don't really care. But in these types of decks, you're really focusing on getting the effects out of these supplementary cards. For example, my Wild deck that we have here is a combo paladin using Uther of the Ebon Blade and Auction Master Beardo to generate the Four Horsemen and OTK your opponent. In order to do that, you need to be able to generate normally the old combo used to be with a bunch of one cost spells. You'd have an Emperor Thorisin go off, and then you'd play a bunch of zero cost spells along with your Beardo, and you'd be able to OTK your opponent with just playing Uther and then Hero Powering. Mm-hmm. But because you have the Licensed Adventurer giving you coins, you are now able to make that combo go off a lot easier. You don't need an Emperor Thorisin tick anymore, not even running that in the deck anymore. But you're able to go through and just get the combo off without having to go through and waste the turn on that tempo. So you do have to waste the turn early with the playing the quest early in the game, but honestly, you can hold on to the quest. You can play a lot of your early one drops early in the game because you don't need to play the quest until you have to get an activation effect off of it. So it takes the quest and really changes the concept around a little bit. It really puts it on its back foot. And I believe the thing for standard that we'll see, looking at this rogue list right now, it uses the same package, but I mean, in rogue, it's also an interesting concept because coins are very strong as just combo activators, and being able to draw cards with these questing explorers consistently is just a much better novice engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess we sort of talked about this a little bit, that we kind of wondered if, you know, when they started having all these neutral cards that give you some kind of value when you have a quest open, if there would ever end up being a day where you just have a quest, but you don't really care if the quest ever gets completed or not.
Yeah,
or where it's like actually a negative thing if you do complete it.
Yeah, I don't think we ever went that far. I don't think we ever said it would
right.
negative complete it. We never thought that far, but it's interesting to see the line that it's gone to.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool, and I think it would be. I don't think we're gonna see more quest neutral cards coming in the next sets or anything, unless they do some more things.
Not for a long
quests.
Time, I wouldn't think. Yeah. Not for a long time.
So we'll probably won't see an increase in this package at all. But I would be curious to see if this ends up becoming more prevalent in standard. Or not. And I think a lot of that's going to depend on things that rotate out and things that are rotating in and where it fits in the meta.
I think for combo decks, this is probably something that you might want to take more of a look at. I think that because the combo deck that I used, it synergizes around having a coin, that is definitely a big plus. But combo decks in general may just use this package. So that's right. Something interesting. And then you think about a lot of the quests that you have. You do have to tune your deck. A lot of them, it's kind of hard to accidentally complete your quest. So building your deck around not completing a quest is a lot easier than building around it to complete the quest.
Right.
I found that out. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
One other thing that I really like about this is that in Wild, you have two forms of the quest. So the joke that I was running is that I was working with some of the guys who were creating this deck, and I switched out the quest that they were using for the Galvadon quest. So I called it my deck.
There
I said,
you go.
I'm clearly running the Galvadon quest.
Yeah.
And clearly my choice of quest is relevant, because if it was the other quest, the game would be 100% the same.
Yeah.
It's that intimidation factor. That's what they could do, right?
Right.
If Hearthstone's trying to monetize, you release a ridiculous quest. And then people will still play it in these decks.
Yeah, yeah. It's just people are like, man, he's gonna play Galvadon. I need to. You know, it's just mind games, right?
Yeah, sure.
Or it's basically like, wow, this idiot's playing Galvadon. What the heck?
Yes. Yep. Exactly. I'm going more for that approach, so people underestimate you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think it is time to get out of here. Maybe if I can get the music playing. There we go. But yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed the bonus episode we did yesterday with Deck Tech, or I did yesterday with Deck Tech. So you get two episodes of Well Met this week. And sorry that Ray wasn't able to make it this week. I have a feeling that he is sleeping. as unfortunately he's got to do sometimes. So, but yeah, I talked yesterday on the bonus episode that if you guys have any emails that you would like to send us, like, this is the time to absolutely do it, because now that we've done all these card reviews and we've probably got about another 3 to 4 weeks until we get some more, this is going to be a challenging time in the Hearthstone world on topics. I'm sure we'll find some things to talk about, but if you have any, like, questions you want to ask us, any topics you'd like us to discuss, or anything like that, just email us. Wellmet@blizzpro.com is where you can do that at, and we would love to get those. If you'd like to help support the show, there's a couple different ways you can do that. One is through Patreon, over at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast, and just a little, as small as $1 a month, is all we really ask. And that gets you a little bit of a pre-show, a little bit of post-show most of the time. Gets you usually early access to the show. Usually get it like the night before I put it out to the public. Sometimes I get it out the same time. Usually it's a night before. And yeah, we have different tiers with different things. So definitely go check that out if you'd like to help support the show. Another way that you can help support it through non-monetary methods is by leaving a review, because that helps us get seen by other people, and other people like your input on those. And that's pretty easy to do. You can just head over to iTunes, do a search for Hearthstone Podcasts. You'll find Wellmet there, and you can just leave a nice little review, and when you do, we'll read it on next week's show. So, with that said, Danny, do you have any shout-outs? How can people get in touch with you?
So people can find me, as always, on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS. And, I mean, I gave a shout-out to Team 5 last week.
Yeah.
I might just give them another shout-out, because this is another fun week coming out. I'm excited to see what's coming forward.
Awesome. As for me, do I have any shout-outs? I want to... I'm going to give a shout-out to Ray, because today Ray went and exercised his right to vote. So, and I'll give a shout-out to everybody who decides to exercise their right to vote in this upcoming election, or any election, because democracy is important. But anyway, you can find me over on Twitter at Deldorian. That's where you would follow me at. So anyway, thanks for listening for episode 227 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet at us, Well Met Podcasts, or email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, or ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Buttonew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.